Well, thank you very much. It's always dangerous to go last in any of these scenarios because most of the interesting things have been said, and Chris always has all the amazing data. So I try to give this from I guess a personal and a university perspective. I'm going to reiterate some of the arguments that's been made by the sector over the last few years because I think it's important to, I guess, remember why we thought this was important, but also to hold on to those arguments because we are going to go through the next framework and how do we kind of make sure that we maintain that position and maintain, I guess, a focus on the importance of our partnerships in Europe. Obviously, confirmation of association is remarkable news for the future of the UK and EU research and innovation. There's often a shorthand when we talk about European work and we say European science, British science, and that's a huge chunk of it. But I think it's really important, and coming from Imperial, I think it's also critical for me to say this. This is beyond just science and technology. The humanities, the arts, the creative industries are really well supported by the European programs. And actually, that those sectors were very, very concerned that they would be squeezed out of some of those conversations. So making sure we took that holistic view of what research is and how all those different pillars fit together is really critical. And this collaborative research innovation that's been made possible by Horizon, I'm going to argue why I think that is really critical to our networks, is really important for the future health of the UK's science and research base, but also our national security and prosperity. Imperial College, we're a global university. Most UK universities are global universities. I think that's a really important factor. We're not in a national silo. We all act globally. And from day one, we've campaigned relentlessly on Horizon, even when it felt quite desperate, like we thought it might not happen. We were steadfast. And I think that's really recognition that the European partners are so critical to what we do. In my role, I also sat on the working group for Plan B. And it was interesting, the unity of the sector in those meetings and generally in our messaging was, I wouldn't say totally unwavering, but the most steadfast of anything that I have witnessed. And you know, we'd have those meetings went in the diary at the last minute, and everybody dropped everything to make those meetings. They were really critical. And I think that was a measure of how important it was. Nobody wanted to stop calling it Plan B when there was a suggestion we have another name. Like, no, we're keeping Plan B because that was, I think, like you said, George, an important message that there was a Plan A that we were holding on to. But I would agree, some of those thinking that went into Pioneer, it was a really interesting and useful stress test, right, on how critical was this partnership to us and what was it that you might do with similar funding that would be different. And some of those ideas I think we'll carry through. And it was a really important exercise, actually, and we should do it more often. You're just testing, are we doing it right? Is this the right way? What are the alternatives? And convincing ourselves that it's correct. The European program, it's the world's largest multilateral research program. I think it's important to remember that because we are in a global research economy. This is the biggest program. The Americans, the Chinese, the rest of South America, there are big programs. The European program is the biggest, and that's really important. And that gives us access to networks, flows of ideas, talent, and funding at a scale that is really important globally. And it gives us what I like to think of as a multiplier effect on our own research. So as an example, in Horizon 2020 projects at Imperial, we were part of projects that totaled over $2 billion, euros, dollars, almost the same, over the course of that program. So there's the direct funding that came to Imperial was multiplied 27 times by those partnerships. We were in partnerships with 16 different countries across that space. That gives you access to data, infrastructure, and knowledge and talent from all those different regions. And why is that important? Right? I mentioned China and the US, and George mentioned the numbers that are being invested there. It's a huge competitive space. And this multiplier effect, I would argue, is actually critical to UK success and UK excellence because we are driving thought leadership. We have got excellent, you know, we regularly talk about how many universities are in the global top 10, top 50. I'd argue that being part of the European programs is key to that and key to maintaining our excellence on the global stage. The association at Horizon, I think, is also the bedrock of the UK policy, actually, in being, I'm going to use the word science superpower, because I think we genuinely can be. It's genuinely a space where we can drive prosperity. And there's been, I think, dedicated support that this government has shown through its many incarnations the kind of commitment to the knowledge-based economy through investment in R&D, dedicated government departments to focus on delivery. I was going to say improvements to the visa systems. I think we're all slightly concerned about that. I mean, I think it's true to say the science visas will sit hopefully outside of those that remit. So Maria, might not be as bad as you think. But it is important that we think about the science and the research ecosystem and how we think about technical staff and the broader space. So making sure we do protect that and the global talent visas and access for students. While we waited for association, we didn't just sit back. We've still been competing. We have been successful in over 170 proposals, nearly 100 million euros in funding that's come into Imperial. And one thing I think that's critical to realize is that we saw massive enthusiasm amongst our community to keep applying when it felt a bit frustrating and there was uncertainty, particularly with the ERC and that talent space, people wanting access to that globally recognized position. And it's not just about how much money does it bring. It's about the prestige. Again, it's about being part of that community. But what we also saw is that we didn't see a change in success rates. So there was a perception that, if I apply, I'll be judged differently to people from other countries and other institutions. We didn't see any evidence of that. And that was kind of a reassurance, again, that we were seen as part of the European community. Again, reflected by not just the steadfast commitment from the sector in the UK, but from our European partners. We also kind of doubled down on our European bilateral engagements, and that is seen as kind of not just an insurance policy, but actually, a restatement of commitment that we wanted to make sure we had those strong relationships. So we launched an international research center with CNRS. It's the only other one in Europe. And they're, CNRS, it's right on our doorstep, but it's that, covers essentially the whole of French science, and really gives us now, a really great platform to move back into kind of gearing up our Horizon engagement. I want to comment just briefly on the agreement, because I think it's easy to forget that we actually have a really good outcome here, because it was so frustrating and it felt like it took a long time. Actually, we're in a good place. The Euratom, I agree. I've talked to Ian about this. It's where we need to be, I think, for fusion, and the ambition for fusion that the funding's been put in there is important. We're able to lead programs. We have access to the ERC, and Maria's been fighting steadfast that it's really important that we have got to a good place, and it's a good deal going forwards. It's a good deal going forwards with a limited time frame. I think we do need to look forwards to what's the next iteration. How do we, first of all, make sure we do ramp up our engagement, we get to 120%. But also we think about, where does UK thought leadership sit in developing the next frameworks, and how do we get in those conversations without commitment to be continually engaged? And so I think that, we have a general election potentially coming up. We have changes of different flavors of government, or in the same government flavor, different ministers and different policies. That kind of stability, and it can be ambitious but stable at the same time. How do we kind of make sure that we keep that, so we are able to shape the next programs and really drive, I think, that UK science into European programs? Maria talked about maintaining independence in the ERC, and for a lot of the drivers from the UK perspective was this recognition that the European programs, because they are multilateral programs, they're inherently independent from minutiae of national politics. And actually learning that ERC feels like it's going to lose some of that independence, I think, is a big concern for us. And as a community, we need to make sure that we do lobby to maintain that independence, because it's critical, I think, for maintaining excellence and integrity in the scheme. Going forward, I think I'm really confident that we have the talent and the will to move forwards. There are some areas that I think are really critical. So we have to have a well-funded and a well-founded research base to step into and lead those programs. And UKRI is obviously at the heart of that, but also the academies and the fellowship programs that we know are critical to attracting people. We have to be open to attracting the talent, as well as obviously growing our own. And I think thinking about graduate programs as part of this scheme is really important. One thing, I think one area at Imperial that, and probably beyond, is there's a layer of academics and researchers that are coming through, so early career researchers that have been kind of growing in this hiatus. So they may not have established the European networks that those more senior colleagues have, and they're, you know, how do we accelerate those people into kind of that broader network and creating seed funds and engagement programs and leadership fellowship programs for that community, so that we make sure we do have a continuing solid base and we don't end up with this gap of connected people. I want to just touch a little again, I guess, linking to the Pioneer and how we connect Europe to the broader international programs. In Imperial, over the last 10 years, our academics have co-authored papers with people in 192 countries. That's nearly all countries. It's an international thing. But interestingly, if you look at our papers that we write with the US, 60% of those also have a European co-author. So we are not doing European collaborations here in American, and that's not how science works. And so recognizing and thinking how we connect the European programs to the broader international partnerships is going to be, I think, a key challenge and probably more of a key opportunity for us in that space. So I will stop talking. I think we've got new research, new challenges, new opportunities, independence, well-funded research base, and onwards and upwards. Thank you.